In today's event, my name is Mike Walton. I have the privilege of chairing the committee. I am from Austin. Let me give you a little bit of background about the committee, and then we'll have the others introduce themselves as well. As you know, this exercise is intended to make an assessment of the transportation needs for the state of Texas through the year 2030. And in that capacity, the chair of the Transportation Commission has tasked this committee, if you will, or appointed the committee to help guide the study team that is performing the estimate, if you will. We began, I think it was in June. This is our fourth public hearing. We've started off with one in Austin, in El Paso, Houston, and now we're very pleased to be here in Dallas. The committee has only met a few times, and we had an earlier meeting today over in Fort Worth at BNSF building. So again, we're delighted to be here. We look forward to the participation of all of you in this exercise. And again, thank you for being here. I should mention that the team of professionals engaged in performing the assessment are from Texas A&M, Texas Transportation Institute, the University of Texas, the Center for Transportation Research. They're doing an excellent job so far in helping to us understand what the challenges are for the state and performing that need. So again, we look forward to your participation in this effort. And at this time, I'd like to ask the members to introduce themselves and any opening comments they'd like to make, and start with you, Dave.
My name is David Laney. I'm a lawyer here from here in Dallas. I really have no comments other than I'm delighted to be having a public hearing here in Dallas rather than anywhere else in the state, which doesn't count. So we're delighted to be here.
My name is Gary Thomas, and I'm the President Executive Director of Dallas Area Rapid Transit, and excited to be on this committee. Thank you for being here today.
I'm David Marcus, and we felt the same way in El Paso about having a public hearing. I'm the CPA in El Paso. I'm also the treasurer of the Camino Real Regional Mobility Authority, El Paso's own RMA, and I'm very pleased to be here today in Dallas. Thank you for hosting us.
My name is Ken Allen. I work with HEB Food Stores, and I'm the head of logistics for HEB out of San Antonio.
My name is, I'm Roger Nober with BNSF Railway in Fort Worth, and we hosted a work session this morning and was pleased to have everyone over to the Fort Worth side of the Metroplex, and appreciate y'all hosting this. I'm new to Texas. I'm practicing my y'alls. Happy that folks are having us over this afternoon.
I'm Cullen Looney. I'm an attorney and businessman from down the lower Rio Grande Valley. And I'm pleased to be on the committee and learn about some of the transportation issues and help to try and come up with some ideas. Solomon, I want to thank Gary and Roger for hosting the meeting here, and maybe someday we'll get you to South Texas.
Good. Thank you. And again, appreciate you being here. Let me ask that you know the drill as well as I do, that many of you have been invited to provide testimony. After the invited people have spoken, we'd like to open it up to anyone else who would like to provide any input to the committee activities. We welcome your participation. We would like to keep the remarks brief, of course, so that we can get through to everyone. And we do have a list, an agenda, and then we'll start with that. I'd like to, again, the five-minute rule has been said. We have someone over here. It's Texas A&M, is that right? So you know he knows 5 minutes when it comes up. So. And it's hard for a University of Texas guy to say that, but again, he'll help us and help you. First, I'd like, I know there are a couple of people who have commitments at in other meetings this afternoon. We appreciate you being here. We'll start with Grady Smithy, Jr., Duncanville City Council. Grady, welcome.
Thank you, sir. I'll try to hold it to 5 minutes, but if I talk as fast as I need to, you may not be able to understand me. I have southern vocal patterns and Yankee cadences, and that's kind of a bad combination. Uh-oh. I'm in my 19th year as a member of the Duncanville City Council. I spent 13 of those 19 on the Regional Transportation Council at COG. And I was a member of the, for 25 months, of the first Trans-Texas Corridor Advisory Committee. And I'm also a founding member of the Dallas Regional Mobility Coalition. I've been trying to deal with the issues for a long time, trying to get David Lane to build service roads when he didn't want to, and those kinds of things. But first, I think the first thing we need to mention is before we do anything else in this state, we have to stop the diversions from Fund 6. I lobbied very hard in 1991 with the Dallas Regional Mobility Coalition. We were trying to get 8 cents in gas tax raise. We wanted a penny to go to the county, a penny to go to the cities, and 6 cents to go to TxDOT. We end up, unfortunately, only getting 5 cents for TxDOT. And of that 5 cents, we've been able to spend 1.1 cents on road construction. That's very discouraging whenever you go down and go through what you have to in the legislature. You know, Texans are terribly tax-averse, and whenever you're asking for additional taxes or additional user fees, you hope those things will go for what you're paying them for. Secondly, we need to come up with a reasonable mix of taxes and fees to fund the mass transit in our metro areas. With all due respect, some of the items that I have heard are just, you know, very difficult for me to take back to my constituents in Duncanville, Texas. You know, somebody mentioned the other day going up on car registrations as high as $300. That's just absolutely ridiculous in my opinion. Frankly, if you go up, you know, even if you go up $100, and you're looking at $163.50. Any of you remember the super collider? Remember when we added about $10 to our, you know, county fee here? Yeah, you know, and back in the 90s, and we almost got our county commissioners and judge lynched, you know, over that. People came to the meetings for several months and yelled at them. And I understand that, but we need not to throw out the notion of taxes. We need not to throw out the notion, especially of sales tax, because frankly, whenever I spent 11 months along with a bunch of other folks in this room over at COG trying to study how we can finance things, sales tax is on things that reasonably grow with the population growth. You guys charge me an extra $100 for each one of my cars. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to sell one or two of them, you know, and therefore, you know, you're not going to get the money. I want you to know that. We also need to take a real hard look at increasing truck fees in this state. With all due respect to trucks, the ICC, International Commerce, Commerce Commission, Interstate Commerce Commission, will not allow you to spend more money or to charge more money to out-of-state trucks than you charge your own. So if we charge $400, $500 registration fee, I don't know exactly what it is right now, it's $480 the last time I checked, then when a Texas truck goes into Illinois carrying a cargo, they pay $2,000, which is what Illinois charges its trucks. When an Illinois truck comes down here, they pay $480, which is what we charge ours. That's something to look into, too, because one fully loaded 40-footer does as much damage to the road surface and subsurface as 10,000 passenger cars. I used to feel bad for them when I saw that $3,700 a year road tax on the back of trucks, but I don't feel so bad about them understanding that. Finally, fourthly, we need a parallel receiver out to I-35 in the worst kind of way. What worked for 69 is not going to work for 35. 35, if you try to expand I-35, you'd take so much business property. I-35 has almost become a strip city between Dallas, you know, and San Antonio. And from San Antonio north into the Red River, we really do need, please don't call it Trans-Texas Corridor. I don't care what you call it. But it needs to happen, and it needs to happen because of this. 70% of the traffic, of the NAFTA traffic coming up from Mexico and the whole country come up that road, and the whole country. So what's happening now is we're asking Texas taxpayers to subsidize the true delivery cost of goods to the rest of the country. That's not right. That's not fair. That's not right. This is a good example of a place where we can use tolls, and hopefully we'll do that. I'd like to say that I was encouraged about what's happened with the, you know, with the with things that are going on in transportation area, but I can't. I think I'm more discouraged now than I ever have been, because we are basically just so tax averse in Texas we won't do what needs to be done. Now we put two roads on the Corridors of the Future program. I-10, which certainly justifies it, and another, I-69, which will be a road at some point. But we left off one of our biggest trade routes, and that's I-20. I-20 from west. You know, when you go out in West Texas, where the road splits I-20 and I-10, a whole lot more traffic comes on I-20 than comes on I-10. But we left that off the Corridors of the Future program. If there's another call for that, we need to get that sucker back on there. Now let's talk a little bit about what the committee that I'm on, you know, basically does. I mean, the 792 committee, we look at what happened to competition. I've got to tell you, I'll be 66 years old next Thursday, and one of the verities in my life has always been that Republicans believed in competition and Democrats believed in regulated monopoly. The world's turned upside down. No, now I can't get Republicans to even say they believe in competition anymore. We've got a situation currently, frankly, where primacy just skews the market evaluation process, where you can't tell what something ought to be worth. A good example of that is the 121-161 thing. 121, even though we couldn't really have a competition, but we invited to have a competition by the legislature, you end up getting $3.3 billion. 161 is about half the length of that, but has basically the same traffic counts. And that bid was $1.62 you know, $1 billion, of which...
Time has expired.
I know, but I'm going to say the rest of this anyway. Y'all can run me off if you want to. But of which only $164 million is coming back to Dallas County. Well, the whole system is basically predicated on money that started off in Dallas County. I mean, that's really a ripoff of the Dallas County, you know, road users. Plus, in our testimony before the committee on the 22nd of July, we were told that it would bring at least $500 million more than that $1.2 billion. It's hard for me. I believe NTTA has done a heck of a job on what they've done. And they're our partner of the future. What we saw this morning on the Eastern Extension of 190 is what we're going to have to do in the future, which is we're going to have to supplement them some, and they're going to have to give us some money back to TxDOT and to the taxpayers. Anytime you ask me to give up $500 million, though, for Dallas County road users, that gives me heartburn. Thank you very much, and I'll be glad to answer any questions if you got any.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, comments for Mr. Smith?
Y'all heard
Thank
all
you
me.
Again.
You want to hear it then. Thank you.
No, appreciate it. Thank you. Next, I'd like to call on Leslie Judsey, Allen Group.
Good afternoon. Dr. Walton, Mr. Marcus, and esteemed members of the 2030 Committee, distinguished officials and members of the public, I am honored to be here today representing the Allen Group to comment on the most pressing transportation needs affecting North Texas. There could not be a timelier topic than this for North Texas. I would also like to congratulate the chairwoman for impaneling such a committee. Her foresight in establishing this most esteemed committee is reflective of her leadership and her desire to make sure that TxDOT is a relevant part of the solution to the state's transportation problems. I will start my testimony by stating that the Allen Group is delighted to be in Texas. Richard Allen is an innovator who spots trends and anticipates goods movements prior to them occurring. He has a reputation nationally and internationally as a visionary. And this is what has enabled him to focus upon an intersection in Dallas on its south side as the key to economic vitality for not just Texas, but for the United States and North America. It is because of his vision and the City of Dallas policies that heretofore encouraged private investment within the region that the Allen Group currently holds 6,000 acres in southern Dallas County and is creating the premier inland distribution center, the Dallas Logistics Hub. The hub capitalizes on the Central and South American trade moving south to north and the growing China and Pacific Rim trade moving west to east via ship, rail, and truck, with all converging in South Dallas County along the I-35, I-20, I-45 corridor. This is why Richard Allen has created an international master plan development in four cities in South Dallas County. The hub is designed for 60 million square foot of light industrial, commercial, and retail development and is anticipated to have a $68 billion impact to the North Texas region's economy over the course of the next 25 years. It will generate jobs, wealth, economic expansion, new facilities such as colleges, schools, and hospitals, all in South Dallas County. This is an area of the county that has been overlooked for years. The North Texas region has typically grown north, east, and west, and specifically, the transportation funding emphasis has been on projects in North Dallas and southern Denton and Collin counties in North Texas. However, southern Dallas County developers represent roughly 20% of all land south of I-20 to the Dallas County line between I-35 and the Trinity River. The developers at full build-out have the ability to add more than 100 million square feet of development space in this area. This is equal to $3.5 billion of private investment and 2008 dollars. The volume of this development space is more square footage than the entire Tarrant County industrial market, including Alliance. It is also 25% of the total Dallas County industrial market. If it was its own market, it would be ranked 38th in the nation right now in terms of square footage. The Allen Group appreciates the ability to play a vital role in the economic stimulus of this region of the Metroplex. But your committee and TxDOT have the most important role to play. Transportation infrastructure and economic stimulus are TxDOT's job because transportation means economic development. It is not simply a matter of moving people. There must be recognition that there is also an issue of providing access to properties with jobs. With the access to jobs, there will be better schools, more colleges, hospitals, and other opportunities. The decisions that the Transportation Commission and TxDOT make will provide the most important economic development stimulus in the state of Texas, with a population that is growing from 24 million statewide to 51 million by 2040. The transportation mobility issues focusing upon the movement of goods and people more efficiently is imperative so that we may avoid a scenario whereby we sink as a state under the weight of congestion. To be successful, we must understand the effect of transportation decisions on economic development. And in order to continue to promote the business opportunities in Texas, businesses must be assured of reasonable mobility within the state and a system that links transit, rail, aviation, and seaports. We all know of the transportation congestion along I-35 and the fact that there needs to be a parallel route to alleviate the backup. We are all aware of the need to expedite Loop 9 and to complete State Highway 161 and the Trinity River Project. We recognize that I-20 is the major east-west route throughout the United States, and yet it is not a designated corridor of the future. However, the only way that Texas will be able to address the mobility issues along these routes is if it addresses its transportation funding issue. Several funding options have been explored within this region, including indexing the gas tax to the Consumer Price Index, segregating the State Highway Fund 6 for the two transportation projects, raising the gas tax, raising vehicle registration fees, developing more toll roads, and consideration of other revenue mechanisms to raise funds for essential transportation projects. No matter what variety of options are chosen, it is important that you are able to justify a funding recommendation that will both maintain the system and provide for its expansion to meet the future transportation needs in the year 2030. Thank you.
Questions, anyone? Comments? Thank you very much.
May I provide a copy of my
written testimony? Please.
Who shall I give that to?
Where is she's coming up.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, I'd like to call on Randall Chrisman, chairman of DART. Thank you again for your gracious hospitality and the invitation to hold the meeting here.
Chairman Walton and Vice Chair Marcus, we do very much appreciate you being here and distinguished members of this committee. We want to thank you for letting us host this public forum here for DART. We're very excited to have you here and glad you're back in God's country. I want to tell you real quick, we're also very proud of Gary Thomas, our president and executive director, being on this. We think he's a very valuable resource to your board here. Let me tell you a little bit. DART is right now going through its 25th year anniversary this month. What does that mean? Well, back about 25 years ago, Dallas was going through a pretty good building boom. Gas was about $1.30 a gallon, and car was still king. You fast forward that, it wasn't the best of times to say we need an alternative source of transportation. But the visionaries back then decided that you were going to need that if you wanted to continue to grow this area. So the people came together. They voted a 1 cent sales tax on their population to say we're going to fund this, and we've started DART. Now, we move forward 25 years, which is really a short time in a transportation industry. But right now, our HOV, we've got 75 miles. We've partnered with TxDOT. We've more than doubled that in the recent times. Our Green Line, which is our light rail build-out, the longest in North America, let me repeat that, the longest in North America, almost 28 miles, stretches from southeast Dallas all the way up to the northwest area toward Farmers Branch and Carrollton. We're experiencing wonderful growth on that. We expect that to carry a lot of people. Real quickly, let me tell you where we are. Right before the State Fair next year, we should open a portion of that from American Airlines Center all the way down to MLK, but that will serve our Fair Park area. In December 2010, the rest of that line will open. We're also working on our Orange Line, which will split off from there, another 14 miles of light rail. That will go from our Bachman Station. First phase is out to Las Colinas. That's scheduled for 2011 on to the edge of the DFW airport at Beltline in 2012 and on to DFW by 2013. So we're very excited about that as well. Our Blue Line, in addition, will be extended out from Garland to Rowlett by 2012. And that's moving, that's another 4.5 miles of light rail. We're also in 2014 planning our second downtown alignment, which will help get that traffic through this area. And they're having to coordinate with the streetcars and underground and the utilities and things like that. We're also, I've got another blue line extension down to the University of North Texas campus down south in 2018. And then we start working on our 2030 projects, including our north Crosstown Cotton Belt area, and also you'd mentioned the lady before about that inland port. people are now trying to say, hey, how do we speed those up? Not that we don't have a lot going right now. TOD, you'll hear a lot of that, transit-oriented development. We've got over $7 billion either on the ground or planned for those different stations that we've mentioned. We're also, I've got a 35-mile commuter line that we've got over to Fort Worth that we're sharing with the T. We're also doing paratransit, van pools. All this is to lead to reduced traffic, cleaner air, and then economic stimulus. So what does that mean? Let me go a little more direct here. One of the problems we've had, I guess, has always been TxDOT versus us or highways versus transit. Somewhere along the way, we're going to all have to get along. I think there needs to be separate funding for those different groups. It seems like, well, when TxDOT has some money, and they're in need of a lot of highways and other improvements as well, but when you go to us, it's like, well, we're taking their funds or they're taking our funds. It really shouldn't be that way. We should work in coordination here. When they go out for right-of-way or when we go out for right-of-way, we need to talk and say, hey, you know, can you give us some right-of-way along that way, or can you let us buy into that and cooperate? We've done a great job with NTTA underneath George Bush, allowing us to park under there. It was, you know, we maintain it, we pave it, we let people park there, keeps them from having to use it. So those are some of the good things that are happening along the way. Let me just tell you, we're going from $6 million to $9 million in this area. So the cost of doing nothing means more idle time in traffic, worsening air quality, rising medical costs is what that translates to for us that have allergies. You also have, you know, lost business growth. If you want to keep this a viable area and people moving in here, you've got to give them a chance and an ability to move around. So in conclusion, I want to thank Chairwoman DeLisi for forming this committee, and I think it's wonderful that you're looking at transportation needs. Thank you for allowing DART to host us, and again, I hope you'll rely on Gary as that asset, because I think he can tell you a lot about transportation needs. Be glad to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Mr. Christman. And yes, we're very fortunate to have Gary as a member of the committee.
We agree. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, I'd like to call on John Murphy, President, Executive Board, North Central COG, and member of the Richardson City Council. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. I would like to thank you for the opportunity to be here today. And I'm going to take a little bit different approach here. All the folks that are going to follow me and some that have preceded me have been very astute in evaluating all those numbers, which have a lot of zeros following them. But I'd like to talk to you a little bit about philosophically how we need to address transportation issues, and this is my opinion basically, in the state of Texas and in particularly the North Texas area. I'm going to focus on just three thoughts today, and these you'll hear referred to in many different forms. But if we keep these things in mind as we go forward, I think we'll turn up with a better product in the end. First thing that I'd like to do is I'd like to encourage us to support solving issues locally. We're here in the North Texas area, as in South Texas, in the Austin area, and I'm sure El Paso as well. We're pretty smart folks, and we know how to kind of address the issues. And what we're looking for is we've got this willingness to tackle these issues, but what we're looking for is for folks not to get in the middle of what we're trying to do and tell us how to do it, but ask the question, how can we help you do what you're thinking about doing? And you'll see when Michael Morris comes up here in a little bit, and many of you know Michael already, we have a very capable MPO in this area, and our Regional Transportation Council, we know the numbers, we know where folks are coming to. We just need a way to get there. And so working together is our best opportunity. Don't tell the governor that I said this, but we don't need his intervention in what we're trying to do. And we don't need the legislature to get involved in the mix either. Unless we are, you know, in need of their support and working together in a partnership, that's the best way for us to solve the transportation issues. The second point I'd like to make is, don't try to divide us. Make us work together. Many times, single cities, single counties strike out on their own and try to achieve their own legislative agenda or, you know, for their own individual purposes. And those aren't necessarily for the benefit of the region. In fact, a lot of times those are the, to the detriment of the region. And these single city or single county solutions are a little bit dangerous if they turn us against ourselves. We've worked hard to overcome our issues here. In the past, we've had, and you all have heard about the traditional sort of, it's not been a war, but it's been some conflict over the years between the cities of Dallas and Fort Worth. And all the little cities in the areas kind of jump on that east and west bandwagon. And we've had some real success in working those things out and working together and making some good things happen for the region. So we ask that no one get in the middle of our stuff and try to divide us and divert what we're trying to do. I'd like to tell you that not every county needs an RMA and a local toll authority. Not every place that's an individual entity needs to have one of everything. We need to work cooperatively and share the resources that we have and work to common goals rather than the fiefdom mentality that sometimes prevails. The third thing and the last thing I'd like to say is don't concrete everything. And you'll hear this from a lot of folks now who are environmentally more astute than they were a long time ago. They're beginning, as Gary can well attest and Randall mentioned before, to really understand the benefits of being able to ride the rail. And although TxDOT is traditionally identified with roads, there's nothing specifically that says that TxDOT can't support rail activities. If there's a way to make that happen, that would be much appreciated, and I'm sure would provide a better future for TxDOT and all of us if we all kind of thought of transportation as including all of the umbrellas, or that be the umbrella for all transportation that falls under that. We find, and I hate to say this, I know there's probably some developers behind me, so if you see me duck, it's because I hear the gun being cocked. But we cannot let developers in their land speculation push us out with the theory that if you build it, they will come. We've already proven that's true in the North Texas area and in other parts of Texas as well. What happens is that someone goes out in a rural part of Texas and buys a piece of land, and that they carry economic development in ever-increasing concentric rings further out from usually a metroplex area just like Dallas-Fort Worth. So we're already out there talking about the next LBJ, because now we've got George Bush. And when George Bush connects around to all of the places where it's connecting to, and all of a sudden it's crowded, we'll be talking about Loop 9, which is another concentric ring. And so as we keep pushing further and further out, that is going to be a continual problem for us to deal with, because inside that ring we leave a progressive number of deteriorating properties that now become brownfields. So I'd like to see, and I've heard others say as well, some sort of reward for folks who are in transportation development business, that sort of thing, to do brownfield redevelopment rather than focusing constantly on greenfield. So those are the thoughts that I wanted to share with you. It's not very meaningful to you compared with all of the others that are going to bring information to you, but I thought you might want to have just kind of a from the heart kind of a feeling of where we're going, what we're up to. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for those comments, and in fact many of those points were covered in our meeting just before coming here, so thank you very much.
I was not eavesdropping, so I did not know that.
No. Means maybe we're on the right track. Any questions or comments for him? All right, thank you. Next, Michael Morris, Director of Transportation, North Central.
Yes, if you could put the slides up. Dr. Walton, it's nice to see you again. With the time limit, I'm going to be speaking at $3 billion a minute today. It's nice to see Chairman Laney here. I predicted incorrectly, but I thought David Laney was going to be the U.S. Secretary of Transportation in the year 2000, and I think they made a mistake, and I think he should have got that particular post. I don't know if he wanted it, but after his chairmanship at TxDOT, I thought he was going to be the person being shipped to Washington for that post. He was shipped to Washington for other posts. And, Mr. Chairman, it's nice to see you again. It's nice that you picked one of our colleagues on your committee with Gary. I'd like to know the rest of you better. What I'm going to do in my presentation is not be an advocate of from the Dallas-Fort Worth region. What I'm going to do is, if I was in your shoes, where is information that can help you do what you need to do? Because I've served in some statewide arenas previously that I think has information that can help you. If you go to the first slide, in your committee request was what are some of the goals you would accomplish if, in fact, we were to do a better job. I won't go through those in the interest of time. You have those there. One of the data sources I think you should use is the Texas Metropolitan Mobility Plans that have been put together. If you flip to the next graph, I chaired the 8 TMAs. As you know, TMAs are areas over 200,000, so the 8 largest metropolitan regions. We went and developed uniform performance measures that I'll review with you. Those same procedures were then implemented in the 17 smaller metropolitan planning organizations in Texas. And of course, you'd have to look at the rural needs as well to sum up the total transportation needs in the whole state. But I think those data sources are very helpful to you. Rick Williamson would often testify, and a lot of times I was with him, and talk about the $86 billion worth of needs, and you've heard other people talk about that. Let me show you where that's coming from. In our particular region, we have $12.7 billion worth of capacity needs, and I'll define this definition of need. Some people think this is sort of a wish list, but these are the most congested projects in the region. If you sum up the Texas Metropolitan Mobility Plans based on the 12.7 for the rest of the state, it'll sum up to $86 billion. What the chairman would never talk about and what I would talk about, which I think is a bigger problem, is the rehabilitation costs due to aging infrastructure. And for our region alone, it's $32 billion. The average pavement in Texas is almost 50 years old. We have aging bridges and railroad structures and roadways. And I think the issue is actually more on the rehabilitation side than on the capacity side. I encouraged in our TMAs to have a strategic element. In our case, it's Tower 55 and goods movement. On the border, it was hurricane evacuation routes. There are other needs that I think you should consider that aren't traditional level service needs in communities, so I put those into strategic. And then, of course, the big item we all talk about is because of the cost of construction in the actual year in which you build things, translating those numbers into the real world, our $12.7 billion in capacity needs is actually $23.6 if you add the inflation by the time we get the project to construction. We define our definition of congestion as level service F. It's like a report card. Those are speeds under 50 miles an hour. All the performance measures in the Texas Metropolitan Mobility Plan all use the same definition of congestion. So you can sum those up and not have different definitions of congestion. For our region, you have both current and inflated values listed there. That's where I took the summary numbers off earlier in the presentation. Dr. Lomax is here, who worked on the congestion index for our committee and for the state. We were at 1.29 in 99. That means we traveled 29% longer during the peak period than the off-peak period. If we eliminated all level service F conditions in our region, we'd be at 1.20. I think that's about as low as you're going to get in metropolitan regions. You're not going to solve all the congestion, and frankly, solving all the congestion is not necessarily a good thing. But look at the do-nothing scenario, how high congestion goes without additional attention to passenger rail, sustainable development, mobility improvements. In fact, I think one of my messages is the region would never grow to that level, and Texas will never grow to that level, and the economic development loss and lost opportunities if we don't keep up with just-in-time delivery. The Texas Metropolitan Mobility Plan is the first time in our history we're able to reduce congestion from one plan cycle to the other. These are congestion maps of the region and quantification of the total congestion delay. So just for example, in our region alone, we get $4 billion a year in congestion delay. We want to do quality control on these items. If you go to the next graph, if you go to location theory, small urban regions should have high costs because they don't have economies of scale. Large urban regions are building passenger rail and four-level interchanges. Around 1 million persons is about the best place, and our data indicates that. So if you do use our cost, I think at least in this graph shows you a validation by size. We then compared I took our methodology and applied it nationwide to all 340 MPOs. We get a number less than what AASHTO claims. Remember, AASHTO has the whole state. We're just the metropolitan region, so again, I think we're conservative. So as your legislature or your commission says, boy, these are wish lists, I think actually these are conservative estimates. The location of congestion, I won't go through in our particular region, but it's listed there. Our president, President Murphy, already talked about the importance of passenger rail and sustainability. I won't go through that. We have a major local option initiative on finance with the legislature this year. looking at vehicle registration fees and other local option elections. Clearly, Gary can keep the committee up to date on that particular initiative. Additional roadway improvements, largely price-based. Price creates revenue. Price is a way to manage demand. Partnering with the North Texas Tollway Authority to build both toll roads and manage lanes with dynamic pricing is a way to manage congestion. Here are cost estimates of our rail system. The next is the financial options to do it. We, on our website, we have a very advanced methodology where you can actually go in and try different revenue options, and you can see the magnitude of revenue you get within our particular region. Senator Corona is looking at expanding that statewide. Tower 55, we're the largest inland metropolitan region in the United States, fourth largest region in the country. We're all about logistics. If we're going to survive as a region, Tower 55 is now the largest bottleneck, according to us, UP and Burlington Northern. Major effort underway, short-term improvements at the site. This is the strategic elements of needs. Austin, San Antonio is similar. El Paso is probably similar, but Corpus Christi, maybe, again, hurricane evacuation. We're working on a regional loop. In this case, trucks would have the priority in the managed lanes instead of commuters. We got to get regional rail eventually in a bypass situation. We're working with our partners to accomplish that. I know they're represented on your particular committee. In the western side of this region, this is awfully complicated because of gas wells being drilled. One of the recommendations I have for you is to develop a state planning requirement with regard to gas drilling locations. We're developing locations using the latest maps from the Railroad Commission. They could be 1 or 2 days old. We start planning those routes. Gas wells are being drilled and decided as we go. We're going to lose major corridors over time. Air quality is critical. We've made major progress this year. The federal government has just announced our attainment of the one-hour standard. It's not all about money. I've coined this phrase, Cap Maine. We should do our corridor planning very differently, not just wake up, build the whole corridor. Major investment study, I've often said, is Latin for the word $1 billion. We haven't done a corridor yet that doesn't cost $1 billion. There's got to be a way to go into these corridors, look at your capital asset inventory, look at your capacity needs, do detailed operational elements, and see if we can develop a hybrid approach. As you know, Doctor, I made that recommendation to a presentation at your university earlier this year. And then let me end with, again, it's not all about money. We do need to overhaul how we fund projects. We need to overhaul how we deliver projects. We need to put more attention on streamlining those particular projects at high inflation times. We need to shift emphasis to, as President Murphy said, local decisions, risk and reward, accountability. You get rewarded for going out there and get moving projects along. There needs to be some new or increased fees. We can talk to you about that in more detail. It isn't always about building more. We need to put more on management and operations. This is the operational elements of the importance of signal timing all the way to freeway management. We need to advance our partnerships with goods movement and others within the region as this matures. And we got to eliminate the stovepipes. And I'll give you just an ending example. The Regional Transportation Council earlier today approved $80 million to move the Burlington Northern Railroad, which will permit TxDOT to only have to build the structures at the new alignment of the railroad and not twice on 114 at the old location or the original or existing location and then redo the bridge structures on the other, saving $40 million. This will permit the Alliance Airport runway to be extended, and then Federal Aviation will reimburse us for the particular fund. So toll road running to move a freight railroad to extend a runway to be reimbursed as part of the process. We've been under stovepipes for so long. We've got to take them down. We've got to have imaginative imaginative methods to build our projects. Yes, we need more money, but more mind power in what it is we do can make it more cost effective. I'm going to leave your committee three reports: the regional transportation plan, 40 or so things we're doing on air quality, and our performance-based annual state of the region report that we do in conjunction with DART and our Tollway Authority every year in front of the Commission. I'll leave those with your staff as resources. I encourage you, Mr. Chairman, to make use of the Texas Metropolitan Mobility Plan data as you prepare reports on the needs in Texas. With that, I'll be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Michael. As always, very, very interesting. Thank you for that. Anyone have any comments, questions?
One quick question, Michael. Yeah. What's the your sense of the users, the private users of Tower 55 and their willingness to contribute to a solution from a financial standpoint?
In our methodology right now, and we've all agreed to it and everyone's a funding partner, is we'll go through and determine what the costs are and we'll determine what the benefits are. So we have a cost-benefit model, and your degree of what you should pay is a function of what you benefit. Obviously, there's a federal interest, there's a state interest, there's a goods movement commercial interest, and there's an interest with regard to the region regarding air quality, trackage rights, future passenger rail systems, and the like. So we're proposing a cost allocation structure very, very much based on the point you made. I don't think the goods movement community should pay for all those costs. They should only pay for the cost of the part of that changes their rate of return with regard to that investment. One of the items, and I know private sector partnerships are controversial, too often they're just associated with toll roads, and more often they're just associated with the Trans-Texas Corridor, which in Texas you can't say the word Trans-Texas Corridor anymore. It's a four-letter word. But I think a public-private partnership at that location would be a good example. For example, we go to investment banker. It may cost $300 or $400 million. $304 million build a project now. We develop a revenue system that pays that over time. I don't want to say that the trains would be priced like tolls, but the trains would be priced like tolls. And over time, there could be payments made, and our air quality funds could be paid for our benefits, and national payments could be made based on national benefits. And I think, Mr. Chairman, so far there's a lot of interest that, not necessarily that the private sector model is the best way to go, but clearly articulating the benefits, and the benefits should decide how to allocate the cost is the methodology right now.
Anyone else? Michael, thank you.
Thank you.
Dan Petty, President and CEO, North Texas Commission. Is Dan present? I haven't seen him come in. Mike Cantrell, Chair of the Dallas Regional Mobility Coalition. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Mr. Chairman, distinguished committee members, my name is Mike Cantrell, and I am a member of the Dallas County Commissioners Court, have that privilege, and I'm also chair of the DRMC, Dallas Regional Mobility Coalition. The DRMC is a coalition of public and private entities and transportation organizations which share a common vision of leadership and regional cooperation in advocating for greater transportation funding and timely implementation of collaborative, multimodal transportation solutions in the eastern metroplex. The DRMC's objectives are to increase the mobility of people and goods within and across the region, support the economic productivity and development of the region, improve the quality of life for residents through reduction in commuting and travel times, and improve regional air quality through congestion mitigation. As we've all heard, the North Texas region is experiencing ever-increasing delay for roadway congestion. Traffic hours of delay per motorist per year has risen from 13 hours in 1982 to 58 hours in 2005. The DFW region is the third worst metro area in the nation in traffic delay. We're at a crisis point, and while this region and the state have fared better than the rest of the country in this economic downturn, our continued economic vitality is being jeopardized by an aging, underfunded transportation network. As you all know, it will take years for any solution we embrace to relieve our problems. It is imperative that we act now to improve the mobility of this region. If we don't, our economy and quality of life will suffer. DFW will be a less attractive place to live and work in the years ahead if we fail to take bold action today. The DRMC and others in the Metroplex, including the business community, believe the time has come to undertake an effort to finally act on the long-recognized need for expanded commuter rail in the North Texas region. The Metropolitan Transportation Plan calls for 251 miles of new rail over the next 20 years. The cost of the new rail service is $5.7 billion in today's dollars, or $9.6 billion in future dollars. The annualized cost is $457 million, and no revenue is currently available to fund this new service. Previous legislative efforts to permit local governments with voter approval to increase the sales tax to fund commuter rail failed because the effort did not enjoy the support of the business community. In 2007, the Regional Transportation Council of the North Central Texas Council of Governments convened a group of local officials and business representatives to study optional revenue sources to fund regional commuter rail service expansion. while a formal recommendation for the 81st Texas Legislature has not yet been adopted. The group has concluded that while local transit agencies and local governments have the ability to generate some additional money without new statutory authority, it is not sufficient to fund the entire plan. Some new statutory authority will be needed for local option and fee revenue, and we are working hard to develop a suitable combination of revenue sources to address our needs. The important thing to note is that for the first time, the entire region is united, not only in its recognition of the region's mobility problem, but also in the need to work together to solve it. All of us are committed to working together, business and government alike, to develop a plan to keep the entire region moving forward, a plan which benefits all of us, a plan which balances the needs of the traveling public and the business community, and a plan which will keep the DFW Metroplex a good place to live, work, and do business. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today and for you, your attention in addressing this urgent matter.
Thank you, sir. Questions? Comments? Thank you very much. Mayor Whitfield, City of McKinney.
Mr. Chairman, Commission members, thank you for allowing me to be here. As you probably know, the City of McKinney in Collin County as a whole is one of the fastest growing regions in Texas and, in fact, the nation. McKinney is a Collin County is fastest growing city and is currently the third fastest growing city in the country. From 2000 to the present time, McKinney's population increased by 121%, outpacing any other city in the United States in those 6 years. Perhaps even more significant than the county's population growth is the growth in new jobs. We have increased the jobs by $104,000 in the civilian labor force from 2000 to 2006. Bottom line, transportation issues, when faced with enormous growth and long-term economic potential, we are critically challenging. We must keep up with today's growth, and we must be prepared for the future. Above all, we cannot afford to focus on short-term fixes. Investment in strategic decisions made today will impact economic investment and business decisions for years to come. Failure to address transportation needs will seriously threaten the economic vitality of our city, region, and the state. Time and time, businesses looking to relocate or expand tell us that transportation and access to multiple transportation modes are critical factors in their decision as to where they locate and build their future. So for a quality of life standpoint, transportation and infrastructure delivers valuable fringe benefits and decreased commute time and decreased environmental imprint. This is a definite payback in multiple levels. Our highways are congested, and we've made great strides working with our state and county on the construction, and the tolling of 121 has given us funds that we are now moving forward for the region. However, we must plan and invest in long-term development of alternative means of transportation. Air and rail, these are the transportation issues of the future. Collin County Regional Airport is truly an economic engine for our region, and its potential for future growth is enormous. We strongly believe that future commercial service is inevitable for this part of our county, and we are preparing for that opportunity. The ability to secure funds at local and regional level clearly indicates others recognize the value of this investment. Most recently, the Texas Transportation Commission approved first phase funding for a design of a replacement runway and control tower. The replacement runway is estimated to cost some $60 million. Scheduled for completion 2012, it will be 150 feet wide, have a weight-bearing capacity of 450,000 pounds. And construction of the new tower will be completed by 2010. We presently have corporate headquarters jets in our location. We have jets that can take off from Beijing, China, and fly direct into McKinney, and we have custom agents waiting for them there. Our airport will be the biggest asset in Collin County and will provide jobs for thousands of people. A rail system provide citizens a choice of travel options and allows those without vehicles to be mobile. Gas prices are high and fuel availability cannot always be assumed. Most of the pollution in our region comes from motor vehicles. The more people on trains, the fewer cars on the roads, less pollution, and cleaner air. Having a rail system allows people to travel throughout the region with ease. Seamless connections within the transit system make it possible to move from home to work or play and back again. DART currently reaches as far north as Plano. It's a straight shot up through McKinney in its heavily traveled 75 corridor. DART purchased the right-of-way, and we in the North County, North Collin County corridor, this will provide us with a mode of transportation that's desperately needed. Bottom line, studies have been made in working closely with our neighboring cities, communities, agencies in recent years, and we must continue this trend. This, in particularly, is the case with transportation planning and funding airport development and rail planning. We have one chance to build a solid transportation corridor for our region. If we move too slowly, opportunities for land acquisition, funding, and forward-thinking strategic planning will be lost. I request your favorable support for the North Texas Rail Funding Initiative and the discontinuation of the transportation resources. The opportunities are great. The time to make long-term plans and commitments for future air and rail and improvements is now. Thank you, sir, for your time.
Thank you very much, sir. Any questions, the mayor? Thank you again. Appreciate it. Mayor Lambert, Decatur. Welcome, sir.
Chairman Walton, honorable commissioners, thank you for providing a forum whereby we might comment on very important transportation issues affecting Wise County. Those of you that may not know where Wise County is, it's the county due west of Denton and due north of Parker and Tarrant County. We're kind of out on the fringe, and I'm afraid in the next 20-30 we're going to be sucked into the vacuum here, you know. So we may be the McKinney and Collin County of the future. We have a lot of truck traffic, primarily from the Barnett Shale, oil and gas industry, and rock haulers. Now, Fort Worth and Dallas and the rest of the Metroplex could not have grown without Wise County Rock. And so part of my petition to you today is when we do the outer loop planning and transportation needs of 20 and 30, we need some form of managed highway for trucks. Trucks only, or some other form by which we can get those things out of the mainstream of the other vehicular traffic. They're dangerous. Part of our issues that we have addressed with Mr. Morris on several occasions is that we have dangerous intersections, poorly designed intersections that need to be reworked, and there doesn't seem to be any funds available for us out in the hinterland. So I'm petitioning you today. Recently, we have been made part of the metropolitan area of the North Texas Council of Governments, and we also started planning. It's been my goal for the past several years, and I am now in my seventh year as the mayor of Decatur, and it's been my goal to try to get Wise County leaders and other city leaders involved with the Metroplex in the planning for transportation needs of the future. And I'm pleased to report that we've begun the Wise County Thoroughfare Plan, which will take projected traffic plans for the year 2030. Recently hired a county engineer, Mr. Chad Davis, and he's working with this group in order to plan. But the central theme and focus of what we need in Wise County is not only the planning process, but individual plans by which we can direct some of the truck traffic out of the mainstream, because it is definitely dangerous, and the oil and gas from the Barnett Shale, the rock trucks, all carrying excessive loads, 100,000 pounds or more. And one of the issues that we wish to address is overweight permits. There seems to be an abuse of those permits. It allows the trucks to be on the road and when they shouldn't be. Inspection stations, we plead for the Department of Public Safety and TxDOT to support these inspection stations to get unsafe vehicles off the road. And so we certainly invite you to come and visit us, and we appreciate this opportunity to come and address these few needs. I feel rather selfish by standing here and talking about the needs of Wise County when all of the previous speakers have gotten up and talked about what I call global issues. So I'm more concerned with issues pertaining to Wise County. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Any questions, comments for the mayor? Thank you very much. Next is George Figueredo, the Executive Director, North Texas Tollway Authority. Welcome. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, I appreciate the opportunity to be before you today and share a few comments, and I appreciate the privilege of to serve as the Executive Director of our agency and serve the people of Texas. I just want to share a few thoughts, and I'm not going to go into a lot of details in terms of numbers and all that. I know that you're getting that information, and I saw a lot of it today. Michael covered it very well. And I know that the problem is because if it isn't clear to you now, it will be by the time you're done. And the potential solutions are pretty obvious. Many of them are painful to reach a decision on. Just very briefly about the NTTA, and I know you know about our agency. It's one form or another. It's been here about 50 years. We were part of the TxDOT, and now we're an independent regional agency, and very proud to serve the region. And you know about 121, you know about the eastern extension of the George Bush. This morning we had a groundbreaking, and we're very excited about that. The communities are excited. 161, you know about the battle that ensued on that, hopefully within the short term we'll be able to make a decision as an agency about that project. And we're trying to manage our affairs in a fiscally sound manner, and that's very important, and I think so far we've been successful. Now, we've had a very difficult financial market, and the things that we might have been able to do a year ago, we may not be able to do now, but financial markets come back. But all of this speaks to the need to improve our relationships and our partnerships with each other. And how do we do that? Well, first, it's about our heads and our hearts, and we have to stand down. We, in recent history at least that I'm aware of, have almost made a religion out of fighting, and we've got to stop doing that. Doesn't mean that we're not going to agree or that we're not going to disagree. We will disagree. We just have to know how to disagree and reach a reasonable conclusion. And so if there's anything that your commission can do to help us stand down in terms of how we treat each other and how we approach problems, I would appreciate it, and the region would appreciate it. The Senate Bill 792, well-intended, but it created a structure that didn't allow us to stand down. And it pitted what should have been two partners, NTTA and TxDOT, against each other. The framework was there for conflict and for difficulty in reaching a reasonable conclusion. And so as you structure solutions, if there are ways that we can leverage each other and not fight with each other, I think that would go a long way toward helping us and helping us help the public. Again, we will disagree. We have to be able to respect each other's jurisdiction and authority, but that's very important in how we get things done. I will tell you that we should not be fighting with the public sector versus private sector. We both have something to bring. My difficulty with the CDA concept is twofold. One, I don't believe one size fits all. It either has to be a public agency or a private agency. I think we need to look for blended deals. Whoever's got the strength to do a part of the project or multiple parts of the project should be assigned that. Now, the devil is in the details, but it should not have to be one size fits all. Secondly, I believe that we have to be very careful about giving good projects and bad projects and how they get distributed. In terms of good, I mean profitable. Bad, I mean they have a funding gap. And we have to be very careful how we do that so that we remain strong as a public agency. I will close with one thing. We got to get TxDOT more money. I can't imagine how difficult it is for the TxDOT employees to come to work every day and know they don't have enough money to get their job done, to get the requests that are being done to them done. We've got to help them. Diversion of you know, I know you know all the possibilities that are out there. We've got to find a way to get TxDOT more money. I think I have more time because he's distracted. In closing, I'll say this. We have done a great job of building the most powerful nation in the country on the decisions made by the greatest generation, as they've been called, the World War II generation. They made tough decisions to build the interstate system, and we built this country on the back of the interstate system. Now it's our turn to reach deep, get with our convictions, and make the equally difficult situations. And if we're going to compete in the future world economy with China that you're seeing on the Olympics and others, we've got to make those decisions, and we've got to get the funding in place for TxDOT, for us, so we can leverage each other and build the Texas of tomorrow. Thank you.
All right, thank you. We heard from your counterpart in Houston the phrase, TxDOT is not broken, it's just broke. So we hear that message time and time again. Thank you very much. Appreciate your comments.
Sir.
Any questions or comments for George?
Thank you.
And I noticed that Dan Penny has just joined us. Dan, would you come forward, please? President and CEO of North Texas Commission. Delighted to have you here.
Thank you, sir, and welcome to North Texas. And we appreciate you all having your hearing here. And we hope that you get some good information from our constituents here in this region. I apologize for being a little late. But the North Texas Commission, and I'm Dan Petty, President and CEO of North Texas Commission, we commend you for undertaking this task of identifying our transportation needs in the state of Texas. We are an organization of businesses, cities, universities, and economic development entities addressing institutions and issues important to the quality of life and economic prosperity. Mobility is one of our primary issues because of the efficient management and movement of people and goods is central to the quality of life of our region. Our region is fortunate to have one of the finest MPOs in the country. The MPO has produced a Mobility 2030 plan, which I'm sure you're aware of, a long-range plan that identifies North Texas transportation needs. We have total confidence that you will find that this plan is a documented description of the transportation needs of North Texas, and we encourage you to incorporate this information into your report. In addition to traditional roadway maintenance, rehabilitation, and construction, our region needs to add about 250 miles of regional rail in order to sustain mobility in North Texas. We are now the fourth largest metropolitan region in the nation and are adding more people than any other U.S. region every year. Our population is now 6.5 million and increased by 1 million every 7 years. North Texas must begin to shift some of the increased travel from this population and business growth from highways to rail, so that transit serves a greater portion of our future travel demand than it does now. Mobility 2030 clearly identifies our transportation needs. Knowing what is needed is not the challenge that we face. Securing resources to implement the plan is our challenge. We know that resources are not the focus of your work, but we would be remiss if not pointing out to you that must work to identify and secure more resources to fund a much greater level of investment in transportation than we currently have. Texas is not investing adequately to maintain, rehabilitate, and expand its transportation infrastructure. We need to continue this practice. Continuing this practice jeopardizes our quality of life and our economic prosperity and that of the state of Texas. Again, we commend you for your work and all of your time that you're spending on this, and we want to be able to be of assistance in any way that we can. And thank you very much.
Dan, thank you. Any questions, comments, Dan? Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. That concludes the invited testimony for the public hearing. At this time, we'd like to open it up to anyone else who would like to make any comments. You could come forward and State your name, affiliation. We have no cards, I see. Okay. Anyone? Going once? While we're on the verge of closing the public hearing, let me introduce one member of our group, Steve Polinsky. Steve is here. He represents Senator Corona. Appreciate you being here, Steve. Yes, please.
I'd like to recognize somebody, too, and that's really two people. Our current district engineer in the Dallas district, Bill Hale, just walked in, I think, and he's the one that oversees our challenges up here. And his predecessor, I think, is back there, too, and that's Jay Nelson. He's the one that created all the problems Bill's trying to solve. Glad to have you guys here.
Yeah, I had Jay in class, and he had, you know, he succeeded in spite of that. I understand. Anyone? Then I'll close the public hearing and ask members of the committee for any comments they might wish to make, and I'll start down this end. Colin, you comments? Please. Roger?
No comment, although I forgot to ask when the Southwest Parkway was going to be completed at the North Texas Toll Authority. But I'll get it from them.
Thank you. No comment.
You know, just a little bit of enhanced information on the regional rail system that we've heard a lot about today. Randall Chrisman talked about the 45 miles of light rail that we have on the ground today. He also talked about the 45 miles or more of additional light rail that's currently being constructed. The regional rail program that we heard a lot about today, the 250 miles of regional rail program, is above and beyond that. That's what we heard about. The Grady talked about how we're going to fund it. Michael talked about how we're going to fund it. It's very important to the region. As a lot of people are very focused on it, as Michael attested to, and the challenge is how we're going to fund that. It's this very critical part of our transportation plan in the region. And so I just wanted to make that that point of clarification.
Well, again, let me thank you very much for being here. You should be advised that our report is due in December. We will make a report to the Transportation Commission on their meeting on the 18th, I believe, and then in preparation for the meeting of the legislature in January. Your input is valuable to us. Obviously, this region is enormously important, not only to the state, but to our country, quite frankly, and you've got a lot of leadership here and a lot of power in terms of economic power and a terrific future. So thank you very much for coming and participating, and the public hearing is closed.